There are so many good people who help things at Hope Church to work, especially during, you know, kind of the COVID time. It's harder, and I just appreciate every single person who not only comes here, but also is a part of Hope. And Hope at Home, if you see me in the mornings on my phone, I'm just thanking the people at home for being here. For watching at home, so I'm not checking Twitter or, you know, something else. Every Sunday, I just get on my phone real quick and say, hey, appreciate you at home. We know you're there and we care. We've been going through Psalms 23, and the title of our series is Living the Good Life. And all of us want to live like this good life, and sometimes life's not feeling so good, right? I'd like to live a good life, but it doesn't mean life is going to be easy. Sometimes life is brutal. And this is a part of Psalm 23 I love so much. This fourth verse is powerful. David writes, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Something very strategic happens in this verse. In the first three verses of this psalm, all of the pronouns are in the third person. He talks about God. He leads me beside still waters. He guides me. He restores my soul. David is talking about God until verse 4. When he gets in the valley, it changes to the second person pronoun. He doesn't talk about God, but now he's starting to talk to God. You are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. When we are in the valleys, it brings us face to face with God. And when I'm going through a hard time, when life has fallen apart, and the same with you, we don't want to talk about God. We need to talk to God. Everybody enjoys the mountaintops. I mean, come on. But we grow in the valleys. It takes good times and bad times to make a mature person. It's just how life is. Life is a mixture of victory, defeat, success, failure, mountaintops, and dark valleys. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I read that in Israel, there is actually a place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It's a very steep and narrow canyon is what I read. And when I read about this, the sun, when it would finally shine to the bottom of it, was only the time when it was directly on top of this valley. And I don't know, maybe David led his sheep through this dark canyon of the valley of the shadow of death as he was growing up. And he begins to get a little bit into when life goes hard. And David had hard times, and we have hard times. And the question is, if we want to live the good life, how do we handle the hard times? What practical help and hope can we find when we're living in the dark valleys? And I want to talk about that a little bit with this psalm today. And the first thing I want to mention is this. Valleys are inevitable. Valleys are going to happen, so we can count on them. Just think about what I'm going to say right now and feel how encouraging this is. You've either just come out of a valley or you're going into the valley. Well, thanks, Jim. That just makes me feel really good. But that's how life is. And Jesus himself wasn't afraid to tell us, in this world, you will have trouble. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. There are times of suffering. There are times of sorrow. There are times of sickness. There are times that we're just frustrated beyond all belief. And we should not be surprised by those. Another thing that I know is this: valleys are unpredictable. Right? When is the last time you said, oh man, today at 2 o'clock is like a perfect time for a flat tire on my car? No. I was out of town a couple days this week, and Sharon calls me, hey, the lights are off in the bedroom. Anywhere else? Nope. Babe, though you walk through the valley of the shadow, fear no evil. What? No, how do I get the light? I mean, how come that couldn't happen when I was home? I mean, why is it that valleys come at the worst time? Have you ever noticed how, like, the cliche, the best day ever in a moment is not the best day ever? It's a phone call, it's a letter, it's a routine doctor visit, it's a freak accident. Valleys happen at the worst time. And not only are they going to happen, we can't always predict, okay, this is when I would like to get the flu. Or this is, you know, yeah, this would be a good time to, you know, have my car have a flat. I mean, we just don't do that. Jeremiah, of course, he was a real encouraging prophet. He says, disaster follows disaster. Well, if that doesn't make your day feel better, I don't know what will. In an instant, my tents are destroyed. My shelter fails at any moment. Another thing I know about valleys is this: it's not that they're inevitable only, not that they're unpredictable, but they're impartial. No one is immune to the valleys. You can be a strong believer or you can be an atheist. Problems, trials, difficulties, they don't mean you're a bad person. They mean you're a person. It doesn't mean you're an evil person if bad things happen. It just means that you're a human being. Jesus said this: it rains on the just and the unjust. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but in my life, there are times I'm like, what? Why now? Well, why me? Have you ever done that? God, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, I'm like trying to, you know, live as a biblical example of Christianity. Why me? Why can't you like get someone who's bad? I mean, like, I know I'm not good, but like real bad. Have you ever done that? Why me? Do I really think that I should be exempt from the problems everybody else has to go through? Did Jesus have difficulties? I remember at a low time in my life, I'm like, God, this isn't fair. And I remember the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, well, what about my son? Did you ever think about what he went through? And then in my mind, these scriptures started like flashcards, all the things that Jesus has gone through. And then the only thing I could say was, well, God, I'm not Jesus. Of course, my pity party ended about right there. And I'm not going to be the only one in the universe who never has a tragedy. I'm not going to be the only one who never has a dark valley. That could be one right now. Or it could be someone saying your pizza's late. Listen, this is not heaven. This is not our eternal place. You have a purpose on this planet, and that's why you're here. And sometimes they're going to be dark, and disasters and tragedies happen to all of us. Here's something else I know. David says, even though I walk through the valley, valleys are temporary. A valley is not something you're supposed to stay in your entire life. It's something that you go through and it has a season to it. And where we get tripped up is something that happens, and instead of this where we are, it becomes who we are. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not who I am, it's where I am. And it's hard. I mean, for some of us, COVID feels like the valley of the shadow of death that will never end. But I've struggled a little bit with this. So many people are trying to stay alive. You're like, what, Jim, do you want us all dead? No. But why are you trying to stay alive? Is it to breathe another day? Or is it because God has a purpose for your life and you want to fulfill that purpose? I've never heard anybody say this. People are dying and COVID is bad, so I'm really trying to share my faith with every single person I can because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I've never heard one person say, I want to take the vaccine, or I want to stay alive because God has called me and he's given me a purpose and I want to fulfill that purpose. Why do we want to stay alive? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not thinking I don't want to stay alive. I do. But I have a purpose, and so do you. And I was reminded last night, my friend Matt texted me. He lives in California. I says, Jim, no way. My mom's getting older, but I remembered like what we talked about, and I was able to lead her to the Lord. And he said, I did this for her. Will this work? I'm like, what do you mean, will it work? He's like, I don't know. Did I do it right? Did it work? And I said, Matt, the Lord knows her heart, of course. And then Matt says, Jim, I'll never forget that you shared your faith with my dad. And he came to know the Lord before he died. Come on, there's a purpose to be here. And I want you to stay alive, but I don't want you to stay alive and be paralyzed that all you're trying to do is stay alive. What good is that? Nobody's talking about that. I know that there's a purpose for you. And we do not have to live in the valley forever. But it's hard. When we're beat up, it's hard. You know, when I had COVID and the doctor said, you've got to work out your lungs. I can't even breathe. What do you want me to work out my lungs? He said, because if you don't, it's not going to be good for you. Friends, you have a purpose. And do not let the valley become who you are. God defines who you are, not a sickness, not a setback, not a financial strain, not your fear. God defines who you are. And if you're breathing, you have purpose. I'm just telling you. It's not who we are, it's where we are. We are children of God Almighty, and he has a plan for us. Okay, I just got kind of excited. For those of you who this is your first time you've come here, for me to move this far over, that's big. That's big. Normally I have my hands on here and they're glued to here. Don't move, Jim. Why don't I move? I don't know, but I just did. I'm telling you, I got excited. Listen to what the scripture says here. It says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is rough for a while down here. Boy, is that ever true. That is really true. We're going to be in tough times. There's joy ahead. He's talking about heaven. And you're going to be there. And you're going to be united with those who you've lost and those who you love. But until you're there, there is a plan and there is a purpose for you. Here's something that I don't like talking about because I don't like pain. Valleys are purifying. I remember as a teenager and I had accepted the Lord and I was so excited about God and the things of God, and I don't even know. So I was reading through Job and it talked about how he was righteous in God's eyes and, you know, all these things were happening to him. And I thought, I want to be like Job. And so I prayed this prayer. God, I want to be that person that you call somebody who is right in your eyes. So make me like Job. Is that not like the dumbest prayer in the world? I mean, how many times have you got up in the morning and said, oh God, I want to be purified today. Just light my life on fire. Let me feel the heat. Lord, you're talking about the crucible and the gold rays. Lord, just burn up everything and let me be pure gold. I was so dumb. And all of a sudden these bad things started happening to me. And I'm like, oh no, I don't want to be like Job. I'm dead. So I'm not kidding you. On a Sunday, I went to the pastor. Pastor Sheldon, can you help me? Well, Jim, what's wrong? I've prayed an awful prayer. And I kid you not. And I need you to undo it. He's looking at me going, what? I said, yes. I prayed a prayer to be like Job, and I need you to undo it. And he has this look on his face like, you're serious. And I'm like, I'm really serious. My life is falling apart, and I can't handle it. And I could just picture in his mind. This is what he's thinking. God, he's such an idiot. But I love his pure, stupid heart. Lord, take the, you know, take the whammy off of him. But I mean, none of us get excited about hard times, and valleys are purifying. Peter writes this: so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though it's going to be rough down here for a while, these trials are only to test your faith, to see whether or not it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests gold and purifies it. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried in the test tube of fiery trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day of his return. That's a hard pill to swallow. When God says to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. God, this is my only son. And God knew that he wasn't going to have him sacrifice his son, but he wanted to know if he would be worthy of what was to come. Peter says to Jesus, I'll die for you. I'll never deny you. He totally denied him. God was purifying him. Paul was the one who killed Christians and had an encounter with Jesus that was catastrophic in his life, and he went blind for a couple of days. And the Lord speaks to him, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I am Jesus. Paul went through so much, beaten and beaten, and he was purified to take the truth of the gospel. I mean, valleys aren't just a freak of nature. God wants us to build our faith. And where does our faith get built? Not on the mountaintop. Our faith gets built in the valleys. There are financial valleys, relational valleys, just personal emotional valleys, all kinds of things. And there could come a time in your life where you are absolutely face to face with the darkest times ever. And it drives us to our knees. And those are the times our faith is tested. Not the good times, but the hard times. Does God cause accidents and tragedies? No. God doesn't tempt anyone to do evil, according to James. God is good. But we're going to have hard times. And Jesus had hard times. Can God use hard times? Absolutely. The people who have brought you the most comfort in your life are people who have seen the same dark valleys that you have. You don't find comfort from the person who has everything they touch turned to gold. You don't find comfort from the one who says, "Oh, I know what you're feeling," and you're going, "No, you don't." Can you imagine if God loves you enough that he allows you to be a person that other people can feel Jesus in because you have walked through the dark valleys? That's big time. David says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." He's talking about a shepherd, and he's talking about sheep. And he's talking about a rod, and he's talking about a staff. And do not think that God is not wanting to defend you. God does want to defend you, just like the shepherd would take that rod, and I looked at pictures of the rod, and there's different ones, but it's about this long, and on the end it could have a rock or a big knot, and if something were to attack the sheep, they were able with precision. You remember how David was able to kill Goliath? With precision, they can launch that like a missile to protect the sheep. God is for us during the hard times. God is defending us during the hard times. And I do not like for you to experience hard times. I don't like for me to experience hard times. At least God was honest with us as David wrote these words that we're going to have valleys. But we have to remember that God is with us. When you go through the valley, I am with you. I am defending you. And then there's that staff, right? You remember the Christmas play, you know, the shepherd standing there and they've got the staff with a little, you know, round thing on the end, and it's like all cute and it's a little kid and everyone's smiling. But in real life, that staff was to pull a sheep back to safety. That staff was to pull a sheep to the shepherd for comfort and for help. And God Almighty, when we're going through the hard times, he has a rod that protects us and a staff that brings us close to him. And because of that, David says, "I will fear no evil." That implies a choice. It implies an act. It implies a decision. David said, I won't be overtaken by this. Are these not days that you need to pray this prayer? Will not be overtaken by this emotion that's causing me to be paralyzed in fear. I will not be overtaken, even though this is probably the worst thing I can imagine happening. I will make a choice, and I will not let evil win. I will not be afraid. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of going to see my mom. And normally when we go get to hang out together in Colorado, we go up to Estes Park. And there's a place where we go, and you drive in the valley. And there's really one way to get there. It's through the valley. We can't go up or over or under. I mean, we go right through the valley. Do you know how you continue to live the good life? You realize, I'm not going to avoid everything bad that happens. I have to go through this. I go through the valley. You can't go around it. You can't go under it. You can't go over it. You go through it. And you choose where to focus. I don't like watching a lot of the news because they try to convince me to choose fear and to live my life absolutely fearful. You say, what, Jim? You're just going to be like an ostrich, put your head in the ground? No. I'm making a choice to guard my heart. Either I'm going to believe this or I'm not. Doesn't mean I want to be reckless. Well, God will protect me. I'll just run red lights. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that I have a purpose for my life, that God has called me, and he's called you, and we have to make a choice. We can focus on our situation, or we can focus on our Savior. We can absolutely live in fear, or we can live in faith. And it's hard. I want to just focus on my problem. I'm going to focus on the power of God. I read in the Bible, he does all kinds of crazy, miraculous things. Well, he's not dead. He still can do those crazy, miraculous things, and they're happening every single day. And I want to encourage you today, you're going to go through valleys, and they're not going to be convenient, and some are absolutely going to rock your world. But God is with you, and God will protect you, and God will provide for you, and God will help you. But you and me, we have to make a choice. In Colossians, it says, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you will not give up when troubles come, but you will be patient. David said, for you will be with me. You don't have to go through the valleys by yourself. One last verse is right here, and then we'll receive communion this morning. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Let me just give you a little piece of information here. God's not up in heaven going, I don't know if they're going to make it. Oh, that looks, oh boy. That's not good, not even for me. He's never thought that. There's times I thought I'm not going to make it, and I wonder, okay, God, is there like another planet you're on? You know, you checking out another universe? Are you over in China? Or, you know, where are you? He is with us. He says, I will lead you through this. Last thought is this. Believers go through valleys just like everybody does. Disappointment, sickness, tragedies, family problems. But there is a difference, or at least there should be a difference, between believers and non-believers in the valleys. The difference for a Christ follower is the presence of the shepherd. God is with you, and he proved it by allowing his son to die on your behalf. As we receive communion this morning, I don't know what's going on with you, but I do know this, God is also with you. And may you be reminded this morning as we take that cup, the body of Christ symbolically broken for us, that we might find refreshment in our bones. May you remember that. And as you drink that cup, his blood shed for you, so that even though you and I sin, our sins can be absolutely forgiven. May you be reminded of that. And as you walk through the valley, I encourage you to keep your focus on that shepherd. His rod and his staff wants to provide for you, wants to protect you. And you will fear no evil because God is with you. Let's stand together. Paul writes it in this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this, drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" We normally don't celebrate when somebody dies, but in the case of Jesus, we do, because he rose from the dead. And his body was broken, that today, no matter where you are, you can find strength. His blood was shed, that today, no matter what you have done, no matter what sin you have committed, you absolutely can be forgiven. Those two things are paramount when we go through the valleys. Let me pray with you, and you don't have to be a member of Hope Church to receive communion. Just have to be a member of God's family, and I'll let you make that. You either know if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior or you haven't. Jesus is the one who said, "Don't drink this in an unworthy manner. I gave too much." You don't have to be a member of Hope, and I'm gonna pray a prayer, and if you haven't received Christ, I'll help you do that right now. But there's four different stations, two in the back, two in the front, and we encourage you, come and receive communion, and then we'll sing one last song and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you that in this world we do have trouble, but Jesus, you said that you have overcome the world. I pray for each one today, especially those, whether they're home or they're here, those who are today in the valley and looking forward to being out of the valley. I pray for them that you would give them strength and you would give them courage, and that they would sense that your rod and your staff is there to protect and you're there to provide and to bring them close. Whatever that situation is, let's lift it to God right now. God, take this. God, maybe it's my fear. Maybe my heart is absolutely shattered. God, maybe I'm struggling with this. God, I don't know what to do, and there's been this reversal in this thing, and God, I need your help. God, we want to run from the valleys, and you want us to go through the valleys, and we'll be more looking like Jesus. Jesus, thank you that we get to receive communion. And we don't want to do it in an unworthy manner. We confess we're sinners. We need a Savior. And if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins, this is the time to do that. Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Put your plan into my life and get me off of my plan. Forgive me of my sins. Not only prepare a place for me in heaven, but provide for me the way to walk with you here on earth. Father, thank you for Hope Church. Father, thank you for these people. I love them dearly. Bless them, Lord, I pray. Keep them strong. And Lord, as we take this communion, may we remember there is hope. There is hope and healing in you. May we receive from you today. May we be blessed to be a blessing. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. As they sing this last song, let's receive communion together this morning.